Everybody, and a guten Erev Shabbos. I hope that everyone is having a meaningful fast thus far, though I'm sure we haven't really felt it that much. But Aser B'Teves is a very important day on the Jewish calendar, and it's an opportunity for us to once again recalibrate our vision and to think about Eretz Yisrael and the centrality of Eretz Yisrael in our lives. And that's why this morning's little shiur, I know it's a short shiur, and I thank Rabbi Trump for his leadership in putting this together and for helping us with the technical side, as he always helps with everything, so he gets no credit. I need to make sure to give him credit. So a big thank you to him, and a yasher koach to all of you for joining. What we're going to talk about this morning is the idea of yearning for a geula. And I think there's never enough time to speak about this, but certainly on Aser B'Teves, it's an opportunity for us just to think once again about how important Eretz Yisrael is to us in our lives. I'm sure many of us have heard of the Sefer HaKuzari. The Sefer HaKuzari was written in the 12th century, and it's a fascinating backstory about what exactly took place, why the book was written, but it's one of the most important books in Jewish philosophy. And the Sefer HaKuzari, he writes that, in his opinion, I'm going to read just a little excerpt from the Sefer HaKuzari, when he talks about the importance of Eretz Yisrael, and he says, "Gam misha ma'or belev b'nei ha'adam, ahava l'makom hakadosh hazeh." Anyone who inspires, anyone who encourages or motivates others to feel a sense of love and appreciation for the land of Eretz Yisrael, roi l'schar b'lo safik, says the Sefer HaKuzari, that person is certainly worthy of being repaid. V'hu mekarev bo eis tikvasenu. Says the Sefer HaKuzari, by talking about it, by discussing, by generating conversation about Eretz Yisrael and how important it is to all of us, it's something that expedites the geula. It's something that accelerates and hastens our redemption. And therefore, he says, this is something that we should feel is an opportunity for all of us. It's an opportunity for us, not only on Aser B'Teves, but it's something we should talk about often, because Eretz Yisrael is so important to who we are. The land of Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Hamikdash, Yerushalayim, is such a critical component. It's so significant to what it means to be a Jew. It's so much of our essence. And we take no greater example than Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, goes down in history as Adon HaNaviim. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest of all prophets. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest leader the Jewish people ever had. Moshe Rabbeinu is Pe El Pe Adaber Bo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated with Moshe Rabbeinu in an intimate fashion, in a way that he never communicated with anyone else. Moshe Rabbeinu seems to have gotten to the apex, to the height of human experience. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to say that in some way he feels that he is impaired, in some way he feels that he is deficient in the fact that he never entered the land of Eretz Yisrael. How so? We have an amazing story in Maseches Pesachim, Kuf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. So I know those who are learning the Daf Yomi now, you're not yet up to the last parak, but this is almost the last daf in Maseches Pesachim. You can look it up. And the Gemara there has a fascinating story about what will happen in the end of days, in Acharis HaYamim, when Mashiach will come. And we should have the opportunity to greet the Mashiach and to feel that experience, what it means for all of us. But says the Gemara that on that time, Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Laso Su'uda LaTzadikim, the Ribbono Shel Olam, God will make a festive banquet for all of the righteous people, not only of that generation, but of all generations. And the Gemara says there will be many great guests who will be assembled there to participate in this banquet. And I'm sure we're going to have the greats of our generation and the greats of all prior generations. So many wonderful Jews are going to be assembled there, gathered together, to celebrate the coming of Mashiach, to celebrate the Geula, the final redemption. And there the Gemara says, after they eat and after they drink and after everyone has a great time together, they're going to be stuck with a problem. What is the problem? They're going to look around the room and say, well, now we have to bench Birchas HaMazon. And we generally have a custom that we bench Birchas HaMazon b'zimun. When we have 3 men, or if we have 10 men, we bench Birchas HaMazon with a mezumen. And one person is always charged to lead the mezumen. And here the problem is that you look around the room and we have so many distinguished figures, we have so many great people who are all assembled around one table. How do we decide which person is going to be the one singled out to lead the mezumen? So you can ask Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Vilna Gaon and the Mechaber and the Raman, all the great giants of so many generations, of so many millennia, and yet, who are we going to choose? Well, obviously, if Moshe Rabbeinu is in the room, there is no one greater than Moshe Rabbeinu himself, And therefore all eyes at that moment turn to Moshe Rabbeinu. And all eyes look at Moshe and say, maybe you should be the one to lead us in the benching. To which Moshe Rabbeinu turns to them and he responds, Ani lo avarech. I cannot be the one to lead everyone else who is gathered here in the benching. Why? Lefi shelo zachisi likanes le'eretz Yisrael, lo b'chayi v'lo b'mosi. What an amazing comment of Moshe Rabbeinu. There is something lacking. As great as I am, as much as I accomplished, as close as I was to the Ribono Shel Olam, and as much as I made the Jewish people grow and develop and flourish, there is something lacking in my personality. There is something deficient in who I am. I can be Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNaviim, but because I never had the opportunity to enter into the land of Eretz Yisrael, I feel that I am incomplete. I feel that I am inadequate. And when I read that Gemara the very first time, I felt, what a powerful statement of Moshe Rabbeinu. It means that there's something to the core essence of who the Jewish people are. It's something that shapes our being. It's something that is at the crux of what defines a Jewish people and a Jewish individual. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, there is something that I feel is lacking over the fact that I am not able to be in Eretz Yisrael, whether I was alive or after my death either. I believe it's not coincidental. It cannot be arbitrary. When you look through the first conversation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had with all the greats of our people, there is no way that this was not deliberately done. There is no way it was unintentional and just arbitrarily turned out this way. And what am I referring to? You look at the first conversation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Yehoshua ben Nun. Those are the five great leaders that we find throughout the pages of Chumash. And all five of them, the very first conversation, the very first communication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with them, he gets into a conversation about Eretz Yisrael. How fascinating is that? Let's look through some of the psukim. Avram Avinu, as we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his first encounter with Avram Avinu when he says, Lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladetecha, it's time to go back and go on a journey. And Avram Avinu begins his religious journey at that moment, and he says, El ha'aretz asher ar'eka. He tells Avram Avinu, I want you to go to the land of Eretz Yisrael. Again, the first engagement that Avram Avinu ever had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about going to Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak Avinu is no different. The first time that the Torah records a conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yitzchak Avinu was when Yitzchak has a famine in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And he decides to do the same thing that his father did. And he turns and he takes his whole family and he starts traveling down to Mitzrayim. And at that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, No, you got it all wrong. Al teirid Mitzrayim, shchon ba'aretz. You have to stay here in Eretz Yisrael. You don't have a right to leave the land of Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu, as we know, is a fugitive. And he's running away from his brother and he's terrified that Esav will kill him. And he's concerned that maybe he has gotten his brother so angry that there is no hope for him to live on his life. And as Yaakov Avinu is running away, he falls asleep. It's a story that we're all familiar with. And as Yaakov Avinu falls asleep, V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav v'yomar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing above him, and he has an amazing vision. And what does he tell him? He says, this land in which you find yourself, l'cha etenena ulezarecha, I will give this land to you and to your children. And he says, V'hashivosicha el ha'adama hazos, I know, Yaakov, that you are running away. I know that you're a fugitive. I know that you feel you cannot stay in the land of Eretz Yisrael right now. However, just know that I promise you, you will come back. Just know that there will be a time when I will allow you to return. Moshe Rabbeinu, the first time he meets up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by the Sneh. And on that occasion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, I want you to know, Ra'o Ra'isi es ani ami Yisrael, I know that the Jewish people are suffering, and I know that it's time for them to be saved, and I know that there's so much that needs to be done, and guess what, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to be the one to save them, and I empower you. And that's what happens on that occasion, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the reason why we're doing all of this, why is it important for the Jewish people to be taken out of Mitzrayim? It's not simply because they are suffering, but he says, the reason why is because, lehaloso min ha'aretz ahi el eretz zavas chalav udvash. I want to take the Jewish people up to the land of Eretz Yisrael. And finally, Yehoshua ben Nun, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to him and he says, Moshe Avdi Meis, I know that you were close with Moshe Rabbeinu, but now Moshe Rabbeinu has died and you are going to take over. Ve'ata, and your job now is, Kum avoras hayarden hazeh, I want you to take the Jewish people into the land, asher anochi nosein lahem livnei Yisrael. How amazing is that? How coincidental that Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Yoshua ben Nun, all the greats of our people, the very first engagement, the first communication that they had with the Ribono Shel Olam was about the land of Eretz Yisrael. There is no way that that was unintentional. It's because obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show the greats of our people that Eretz Yisrael is so much a relevant part of our lives. Eretz Yisrael is a central focus of the life of a Jew. And it's something that needs to be important to us as well. It's not just a message that was given to the Avos. It's not just a message that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's something that we need to think about. And it's something that, especially on Asara B'Teves, when we commemorate the loss, when we commemorate the Churban, it's an opportunity for us to think about that. And I feel perhaps one of the reasons why it's difficult for us to have this kind of appreciation and perspective is because we have become so used to the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's become such an assumed part of our lives, and I feel how difficult it's been over the last 9 months for so many different reasons, but one of the gzeros that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put upon the Jewish people is that we don't even have the opportunity to visit Eretz Yisrael. We don't even have the chance, and maybe this gives us pause, maybe this gives us opportunity to once again begin to appreciate how lucky we have been all these years that Eretz Yisrael was available to us, that Eretz Yisrael is something that we were able to visit, that we were able to appreciate all the time. And this gives us a renewed sense of appreciation. In fact, the Pasuk says, V'haya ki v'yacha Hashem el Eretz HaKnani, kasher nishba lecha v'lavosecha unisan alach. And it will be when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you that land. But then the Torah ends off, unisan alach, and He will give it to you. What does it mean when the Torah repeats, and He will give it to you? And the Medrash there says what it means is, Shelo tehe be'enecha ki yirushas avos. Don't think that this is a given. Don't think that this is a birthright. Don't think that you are endowed with the land of Eretz Yisrael and it will be here forever. Imagine to yourself, those Jews, when they came in with Yehoshua ben Nun to Eretz Yisrael for the very first time. Can you imagine the fantasy? Can you imagine the sensational feeling after 40 years traveling in the desert, after suffering in Mitzrayim, after all they had been through? Can you imagine the incredibly powerful feeling? I remember a couple of years ago when I met the three Chayalim who were there, who are in that famous picture when they liberated Yerushalayim in the Six-Day War. Imagine what it was like for those people. Imagine that sensitive feeling. Imagine the unbelievable care. Imagine how much interest they had. They didn't take anything for granted. And the Medrash says, Unesan alach, remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to us in every generation. Tehe be'enecha ki'ilu hayom nesun alach. Our perspective needs to be one as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us this great gift of Eretz Yisrael today. I look forward to the day when the skies of Eretz Yisrael will be open to all of us to visit as freely as we were accustomed to. But imagine what that's going to feel like the first time we all go back. Imagine how exciting that's going to be. Bottle up that feeling and remind yourself that that's the way it should always feel. Unesan alach. In Parshas Bechukosai, we know the Torah foretells many, many of the difficult times, many of the harrowing times, the painful times that will befall the Jewish people in the Tochacha. And in the middle of that terrible description, in the middle of that prophecy, we know that the Torah tells us, Shavarti es ga'on uschem, and I will destroy, I will ravage your pride and your glory. Your splendor. Now, what is that a reference to? What is Gaon Uschem? And Rashi there tells us, Vishavarti as Gaon Uschem, Ze Beis HaMikdash, says Rashi. The pride, the glory of the Jewish people is supposed to be the Beis HaMikdash. It's not our communities that we've built, and we have a lot to be proud of. We have so much that the Jewish people have accomplished over the last few thousand years. I just read an article this week about the disproportionate number of Jews who have won Nobel Awards over the last 50 years, and this is an amazing accomplishment. It's just one area of study, it's one area of growth that the Jewish people have had, but look how much we have prospered, not only monetarily, look spiritually, look individually, look communally, how much we have done. And especially after the destruction of the Holocaust, how much we were devastated and decimated at that time, and yet, look at this rebound. What an amazing revolution, the Kiruv Revolution, the Eretz Yisrael Revolution, everything that the Jewish people do, and yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, with all of that, the Gaon, the pride and the glory of the Jewish people is missing because that is the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, B'shah shemachnisim adam ledin. When all of us will have that difficult conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He will ask us questions about the journey of our lives, Number one, says the Gemara, he will ask us, Nasata v'nasata be'amuna. First question that the Ribbono Shel Olam will hurl at us is, did we conduct ourselves with honesty, with integrity, with virtue? Were we people who managed our businesses in the proper way? Did we operate with other people in a way that was upstanding? Number two, the question is going to be, Kavata itim la Torah. Did you set aside time for learning Torah, a lot or a little, but Kaveya itim? Were you sure to always make time for Torah study because that is a priority to us? Number three, says the Gemara, Asakta bepiria verivya. Notice, the Gemara does not say that the Ribbono Shel Olam will ask whether we had children. That's out of our hands. The question is, Asakta bepiria verivya. Did you try? Did you attempt? Did you do your best to bring children into the world? And number four, says the Gemara, is Tzipisa liYeshua. Did you live a life really looking forward to a geula? Really looking forward to a redemption? And we say it all the time, an imamin be'emuna shalema. We anticipate, we aspire, and we yearn for a geula. Maybe this Gemara is well known that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to look forward to a geula, but maybe what is far less known is the comment of the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, where the Rambam writes something so startling. The Rambam says, Kol mi she'eino ma'amin bo. If we don't believe in the coming of Mashiach. Now, we all believe, ani ma'amin be'emuna shleima, somewhere in our subconscious we believe. So this is not who the Rambam is referring to. But then the next word in the Rambam is, not only someone who doesn't believe, but someone who is eino mechake lebiyaso, someone who does not anticipate the coming of Mashiach, not just that you don't believe, but you don't excitedly anticipate the coming of Mashiach, writes the Rambam, lo bishar ha-Nevi'im u-kofer, that is not just a rejection, it is not just a renunciation of all the Nevi'im, but even of Moshe Rabbeinu v'Toraso, writes the Rambam, this is so fundamental to who we are as Jews, that we believe in the coming of Mashiach, and we aspire and yearn to those days as well. In fact, the Medrash tells us an amazing comment, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a conversation, a difficult conversation with Yitzchak Avinu at the time of the Churban. And we know that Yitzchak Avinu goes to petition on behalf of the Jewish people. And he says, Shema ein chazara lebanim. Maybe, God forbid, the Jews will never come back to Eretz Yisrael. And that was a fear that Yitzchak Avinu had. Maybe his children will never have the right to re-entry as he's watching the Churban unfold. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to him and he says, Al tomar kach. Don't worry. Yesh dor shehu mitzapeh lemalchusi. If there is going to be a generation that sincerely and enthusiastically looks forward to my return to Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, miyad heim negalim. You need not fear because they will be redeemed immediately. And he plays on a pasuk in the Medrash that says, Yesh tikva la'achariseich. If there will be hope, if the Jewish people will firmly and sincerely believe in that coming of the Geula, then vishavu banim ligvuleich, then I will bring back the Jewish people to their borders, to their homeland. And that's a powerful comment to the Medrash. Let me share with you a beautiful story that I read in a sefer that was actually given to me by the Abitan family, a beautiful set of svarim that are written by Rav Gamliel Rabinovich from Yerushalayim. It's a collection of stories on each parsha, and on Parshas Bechukosai, you can look it up, it's called Tiv HaMaisios. He has an amazing story about the Beis HaLevi and the lesson that was learned from that story by the great Chafetz Chaim. So let me just tell you the story. The Beis HaLevi was one of the great giants of European Jewry in the 1800s. And the Beis HaLevi lived a humble life. Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, he was the great-grandfather of Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, the Rav as we know him. That's who the Rav was named after. But the Beis HaLevi was a very humble giant who lived in the very wonderful town of Warsaw. And on one occasion, there was a mishlachat, there was a group of Jews who came from Brisk, who came from another very important Jewish community. And they asked, they petitioned the Beis HaLevi that he stop living in Warsaw and he move his family to Brisk, because in Brisk, they needed a Rav, they needed a leader. And they felt there's nobody more qualified today than the Beis HaLevi. And they were discussing it with him, and the Beis HaLevi in his humility said, well, I really don't think that I'm fit for the job. I don't think that I'm fit for a leadership position, and especially in Ir Ve'em Yisrael, such a bustling city, such a robust community, I'm not sure that it's for me. And the Beis HaLevi is going back and forth, but he's not getting anywhere. But he was a very tough personality, and they realized they were not getting anywhere. And finally, the president of the community, the Rosh HaKohel, stands up, the one who had traveled all the way from Brisk, and he turns to the Beis Halevi and he says, Rabbi Soloveitchik, we understand that you feel a sense of humility, that you feel that this is above you to take the position. But let me just tell you, we were sent here by 10,000 Jews to ask you to accept the position. Are you really prepared to turn down 10,000 Jews who want your leadership? Do you have a right to do that? And the Beis Halevi immediately changed his tone, and he said, if 10,000 Jews want something, nobody has a right to say no. As much as I feel I'm inadequate, as much as I feel maybe this is not for me, if 10,000 Jews are asking for anything sincerely, then I need to answer that call and I must say yes, regardless of what I feel. It's what I have to do. And that is what he did. When the Chafetz Chaim heard that story, the Chafetz Chaim said, there's reason to cry. Because if the Beis Halevi, who was a tough personality, but yet he turned to these people and he said, if 10,000 Jews ask sincerely for anything, I cannot turn them down. Then he said, imagine, translate that into our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avinu av harachamam. The Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. The Ribbono Shel Olam hears us and he cares about us. Imagine, said the Chafetz Chaim, if 10,000 Jews would sincerely stand up one day and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need a geula. Ribbono Shel Olam, we want to sincerely come back to Eretz Yisrael. We have had enough of our experience of galus. Said the Chafetz Chaim, do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say no? It would be impossible to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's compassion and mercy would be less than the Beis Halevi. And said the Chafetz Chaim, it obviously means that there aren't 10,000 Jews who care enough about a return to Eretz Yisrael. I thought that that was an amazing comment. I think it says so much about the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim was a Jew who lived his whole life really sincerely believing in a geula. It was not a geula in theory. It was not just a nice idea. It was something he lived by. There are so many stories told about the Chafetz Chaim that on every occasion he had a suitcase that was ready because he firmly believed that Mashiach would really come and he would have to drop all of his belongings and just go immediately to Eretz Yisrael. That was the life of the Beis Halevi. That was the life of the Chafetz Chaim. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim learned from the story of the Beis Halevi and his move to the town of Risk and the Reska's history. I once read an amazing letter that the Chafetz Chaim wrote. Chafetz Chaim has a collection of letters that some of his students put together. Somebody once gave me a copy of it and I have it in my home, where the Chafetz Chaim has a letter in which he describes his frustration. And he says that there were two businessmen in the town of Radin who decided to go into business together. And they were trying to figure out amongst themselves how they were going to split all the proceeds. And whatever contract they came up with, they negotiated all the terms of the contract, and ultimately they went to the Chafetz Chaim to look it over. They wanted to make sure everything was al pi halacha. And in that contract, the Chafetz Chaim is reading it very carefully, and he looks at all the meticulous details, and he sees everything in there. Who's going to get the profits? How many days do I have a right to take off a year? And what happens if my wife gets sick? What happens if your wife gets sick? What happens if one of the partners dies? And what happens if there's a flood? Who's going to incur the loss? Every single possibility is in there. And the Chafetz Chaim said he was so upset after he read that. He says, you come up with every possibility that you can ever imagine. What happens if somebody gets sick? And what happens if somebody dies? And what happens if the floor gets flooded? And what happens if the store has a fire? And it's not even a realistic possibility. What happens if Mashiach comes and we both need to move to Eretz Yisrael? Is that less of a possibility, said the Chafetz Chaim, than anything else that you've outlined here in your contract? And the Chafetz Chaim said it disappointed him so much. It means that Jews, as much as they say on Imamin ve'emuna shalema, as much as they say every day in their davening v'liyushalayim ircha berachamim tashuv, as much as they talk about a redemption, perhaps, said the Chafetz Chaim, what's lacking is the fact that we should really believe that that is a possibility in our lives, with all honesty. And said the Chafetz Chaim, this was the first time that it hit him. When he read this contract, when he reviewed all the details, and no part of it mentioned the possibility of going to Eretz Yisrael. Writes the Chafetz Chaim in another one of his beautiful letters, and he has so many letters, but a number of them, disproportionately, are about Geula and Eretz Yisrael. And the Chafetz Chaim writes, none of us want to be dishonest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe we can be dishonest when we deal with other people. We know that we can fool them. Maybe there are people out there who don't say the full truth. But when we're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we all know that He sees straight through us. We all know never to say something that is not 100% accurate. And therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, this is something that is very surprising to me. After all, he says, we all try to be honest with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and yet he says that if that is true, Yifla Eifa Meo, this is shocking to me. How do we say three times a day the tefillah of Aleinu L'Shabeach? What a beautiful tefillah, a very old tefillah from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu Yehoshua Ben Nun. And yet we say Aleinu every day, three times a day. And in the second paragraph of Aleinu we say, Al Kei Nekave Lecha Hashem Elokeinu. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, we look forward to a day, Liros Mehera B'Tiferes Huzecha, we hope that we will be able to once again see the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Lahavir Gilulim Min Ha'aretz V'Haylilim Karos Yikarisun. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Al Kei Nekave Lecha, do we really wish for that? How many of us say that if we had one wish in the world, it would be that? And said the Chafetz Chaim, it's important that we think every day. As we address HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Tefillah of Aleinu, it's important that we remind ourselves of the words that we say. Al Kei Nekave Lecha Hashem Elokeinu, we anticipate that day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will once again reveal His great sense of glory, that Ga'on Uschem, back into the experience of our lives, back into Eretz Yisrael, into a Beis HaMikdash. Let me just close with one final comment I don't want to take away from any of Rabbi Trump's time, and he's going to be starting in 2 or 3 minutes. The Dubna Magid has an amazing mashal where he writes, imagine a chassan and kala. They get ready for their weddings, and it's an exciting time. And there are so many different things that they do differently for the wedding. And as we know, the kala has a beautiful gown, and maybe she has extra unusual makeup. And she certainly is wearing more beautiful ornaments, more beautiful jewelry than she otherwise would on a normal day, on an average day, and even more beautiful than she would dress up for anyone else's wedding. And the chassan gets a new pair of shoes, and he makes sure to buy a new suit. And they come to the wedding, and it's a very exciting time. And a young child walks into the room, and he's never been to a wedding before. And he walks up to the chuppah, and he sees two young people that are so excited, that are looking at each other and smiling. And he turns to the chassan and he says to him, you know, I'd like to ask you, you look really happy today. I'd like to know why. What's happening? What are you so excited about? And the chassan says, are you kidding me? Of course there's reason to be excited. Look at my new suit. Look at my pair of shoes that I got. Look how nice I look. There's a reason to be excited. I feel like $1 million. Okay. Turns to the kala and he says, you know, you also look very, very happy today. I'd like to know, what is it that's making you so excited? And the kala says, I've never felt this good in my life. Look at my makeup. Look at the earrings that I'm wearing. Look at this beautiful necklace that I have and the bracelet that I'm wearing and the gown that I have. I just feel so good about myself. Writes the Dubna Magid. How long do you think that marriage is going to last? If at the most critical moment of their marriage, if at the most important moment of their pledging to love each other and to honor each other and respect each other, all they can think about is the beautiful earrings and the great necklace and the new suit and the shoes, if that's all that matters to them at that moment, writes the Dubna Magid, that marriage is doomed to failure. They're missing everything that marriage is about, that a relationship is about. Well, says the Dubna Magid, we have people who think about a geula, and unfortunately all they're focused on is, we need a geula because money's going to be falling down from the trees, and because this is going to happen and that's going to happen, and they have all these grandiose ideas of what a geula means to them. But says the Dubna Magid, we're missing the main focus of what a geula is all about, and that is what the Navi Yeshaya tells us. So sasiz b'Hashem, Tagel Nafshi Belokai, the reason why I'm excited at that moment of Geula, at that moment of redemption, is because it's going to be the opportunity to once again be reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to be that time that we've all been looking forward to, when we will have an appreciated sense of what it means to be in a relationship with Him once again, something that has been so lacking, something that we have been missing as much as we go to shul, as much as we daven, as much as we keep Shabbos, as much as we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is nothing in comparison to what it will be when we are once again back in Eretz Yisrael, living a life of Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, and a Gilui HaShechina. And therefore, writes the Dubna Magid, don't ever forget, yes, there are great fringe benefits to the fact that we will have a geula. Maybe all the people will be cured, and maybe we'll have a Tchias HaMesim again. And maybe we'll have all the wonderful things, and Lo Yisa Goy Al Goy Cher, V'lo Yilmudu Al Melchama, there won't be any wars anymore, and maybe we won't have to serve the nations, and maybe we'll have our opportunity to have our own sovereignty over our own land. But all of that is not the main focus. The main focus is Sos Asis BaHashem, Tagel Nafshi BeElokai. I'll have an opportunity once again in my lifetime to celebrate with my beautiful relationship that I will develop with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something that I've been missing for thousands of years. And as we experience this Asar B'Teves, as we go through the day and we try to think just for a few moments about what it means to be in Galus, what it means to learn for a Geula, let us think very carefully about how much we aspire, how much we yearn for that day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take us back into His loving embrace, when the Ribono Shel Olam will once again take us back into that overwhelming relationship with Him, when we will be reunited with the Ribono Shel Olam in ways that we never have been for 2,000 years. That is what we pray for. It's what we look forward to. It's what our aspiration is as a nation and as a people. And today by Mincha, when we say, Al Kein Nekav Elecha Hashem Elokeinu, for those maybe who haven't yet finished up Shacharis, you still have a chance. Al Kein Nekav Elecha Hashem Elokeinu, let's think about those words, writes the Chafetz Chaim. Just consider what they mean to us in our lives and understand the power and the value of being once again reunited and reconnected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I turn